Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the XL Tribesmen podcast. Now, today, I have a special guest on with us who is, I'm going to call it, even if you don't want to agree, I'm going to call you the world-renowned model, because at this point, you are literally modeling in languages I can't read, which you worldwide. we have Stephen G on the podcast. Yes. Introduce yourself. Tell the people, like, where you from, where you were born. You know, start with your story. People, I mean, models don't ever get a chance to speak. You only see them walk. You only see them move. But you don't see them speak. You don't hear their story. You don't know what they go to see amazing photos. You don't know what it took to get there. None of that. So tell the people.
Absolutely. Well, thank you first for the opportunity just to speak on your platform and to be a part of everything that you're doing with XL Tribesmen and everything you do outside of that. Appreciate you. But to introduce myself, my name is Stephen G. I am a creative entrepreneur. I'm currently based in Kansas City right now, but kind of traveling all over as the job demands. But based in Kansas City, started as a photographer. I've been shooting a little over 10 years. From photography, I ventured into, From photography, ventured into wardrobe styling. And then from wardrobe styling, did some creative directing, and then ventured into modeling from there. So that's kind of a
conglomerate. It's very true. It does take 10 years to become an overnight success.
It does.
Wow. Okay. So, see, now I have a question. So, when you started photography 10 years ago, did you perceive that this would be, you'd be in front of the camera?
Not at all. Like, honestly, I've never dreamt of even being on the other side of the camera, because to be honest, I really didn't like to be on the other side of the camera. It was more so of, I love to be behind the camera. I love to, you know, shoot editorials. I love to tell fashion stories in that way. And I was cool with not, you know, putting me on the other side of the camera and doing all of that. But it was actually wardrobe styling that got me in front of the camera, because, you know, as a stylist, when you're starting out, you don't necessarily have that access to pools, to designers and, you know, retailers to be able to pull items. So for me, my best bet to showcase what I know is with what I have. And so utilizing my own closet, resources that I've had that I've built with designers and things like that over the years as a photographer, being able to, you know, utilize myself as my own muse. And then, of course, you know, doing shoots every now and again with models and things like that to do more of those editorial productions. But on a consistent basis, you know, we in a fast society. So for content, you got to have content going and going. So for me, I'm more of an entrepreneur. So I put on my entrepreneur hat and it's like, okay, so how can I be most efficient? And so I just utilize myself, utilize my own personal style to showcase on Instagram. And so with that journey, it started to get the attention of agents and scouting, you know, directors, producers, things like that. And they just assumed that I was a model. And so for me, you know, as an entrepreneur and just, you know, overall hustler, I'm like, okay, well, I know modeling comes with the check at this level. So it was more like, okay, well, this is a great opportunity just to, you know, create another source of income. So I just utilized the opportunity with like, hey, well, if I keep getting these inquiries, then it may be, you know, I may have a shot
something there.
Yeah, it may be something there. So, yeah, that's how that worked, that whole transition into becoming a model. But yeah, it started as a photographer and, you know, really grinding in that space of the business.
Okay, so you said you put on your entrepreneur hat. So when you got your first inquiry to model, what did you think of it? And what made you say yes? I don't even know if you said yes to the first one, but so I guess that's a two-part question. He didn't say yes. When was the first one you said yes to?
Okay, so let me ask this. My first gig that I actually did, or my first gig that inquired about me as a model?
Yeah, that's what I was figuring, because I was wondering, they might not have been the same thing. So when you got your first inquiry, like, what did you think? Like, what, y'all, me? I ain't even no model. Like, what? Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, all of that. All of that. I had all of those thoughts. Like, yeah, I'm not a model. But my first initial thought was seeing that rate and the client.
Oh.
And so, yeah, it was a major client. It was a major client coming out of the gate, and it was a pretty good rate. So I'm like, okay, well, yeah, sign me up.
Okay. You know, all right.
I mean, well, I have the experience, but as a photographer, you know, and I'll coach and develop models, over the years as well. So, I mean, I would know what the brand would expect. I just, me personally, wouldn't have the experience. But again, my first thought seeing that, well, if they inquired about me, I'm definitely not going to turn it down. So it was definitely, I think, the opportunity that got my attention to be able to say, you know, let's go ahead and pursue this thing.
Okay. So once that shoot wraps now, are you now thinking like, oh, I can become a model, or you're like, I'm gonna get back behind the camera? Like, what's your mindset after that first shoot?
Well, this is the thing. So that first shoot actually didn't happen. So I actually had a few inquiries that didn't happen, and so that's what made me. Yeah. So a lot of them I didn't get, because you, I guess as a model, what you do, you get casted. So of course, you know, there's other models a part of that pool. And so, you know, they inquired, casting director pulled me and had me on hold, and then eventually released the gig. So I actually didn't get the first few inquiries that I had. At that point,
teach the people some things. I didn't know that's how the process worked.
Once
they inquired, they were interested in you. I didn't know there was a process after that.
Oh, yeah. No, that, just because they're interested, that still doesn't mean you're going to get it. And that's another thing that I think, you know, was a good learning experience in modeling that I didn't necessarily experience with photography, is that, you know, you get told no a lot. You know, just because they have an interest in you and they may want to book you, it's so many different factors that may boil down to you actually getting that job. And so, you know, of course, at that time, I wasn't a model. So it was a lot of things, I'm sure, factored into that. But you know, it was a good thing that it did happen, because now I was able to, somebody's at my door. I was able to, at that time, that was a real moment, but, I was able to really like, okay, well, if this person is inquiring about me, this brand, I'm like, okay, well, I may have a shot at this. And so I wasn't even signed at that point. Like, this was just literally a lot of casting directors reaching out to me via Instagram. And so that's how a lot of the inquiries came about. And so it was more so like a thing that happened where it was randomly at 2 a.m. in the morning, and I'm just sitting in bed, and, you know, God just gave me the inclination, go ahead and just apply to agencies. And so I just followed that inclination, and I was just up 2 a.m. doing my research, really trying to find the agencies that really, really align to who I am, really align to, obviously my niche of market as a model. Yep. So, really researching, agencies that represent brand models, et cetera. And so that's when, I came across Bridge Models, who I'm with, signed with now. And they ended up extending the contract, about 2 weeks after I submitted. And so then that's when it was official, like, okay, I got signed. So,
whoa, that was fast.
Yeah, it was. It was. Woo. So that's what I would say made it official for me, was actually becoming a signed model, because I feel like, you know, agency representation, it kind of put a little more validation on it, and really kind of
they
just
put some respect on your name.
Yeah. And really just kind of killed, like, even my own doubt and insecurities and things like that. I was just like, well, nah, it's not really a thing. Like, they're not really, you know, they just wanted me for that particular campaign. But no, when they reach out to extend the contract, it was like, okay, let's do this.
This is so, for real now. I'm ready.
Real, yeah.
Okay. So you get signed with Bridge 2 weeks after flying. Talk about following your purpose. I mean, a lot of times we get nudges to do things, but we don't follow for our own fearful purposes. So how long were you getting that little that little nudge and on your side, like do something. You should do, like, how long was that happening before you was like, I'm gonna do it, or as soon as you got did it?
Well, I can start actually with this, because I think this was super important for me, and even just looking at it now, it was like, man, I'm glad I followed that inclination, because it started actually with me making this a decision to create content.
Okay.
Before, I used to just use Instagram like most people, post, you know, vacation pictures, your fit yep. pictures, and, you know, you out to eat, very uncurated. So it was very social. And so the moment I decided to actually transition and kind of curate my content a little bit better, that was that first inclination. That second inclination came when I wanted to change my Instagram name. I'm like, I need to actually clean it up. Let me actually get a clean name, something that represents, I feel like, who I am, represents my brand also as a creative, as a photographer, and really just kind of own that. And so it came with the content creation and changing my Instagram name. So okay. Once that happened, it really put me in the mind space of like, okay, now this is official. And that's kind of where the name Official come from, with The Official Stephen G. And so it was more of like a signature thing to really like put things in place. And so once that happened, then creating the content and being consistent with it. And then also after that, it's like, okay, now you have a modeling inquiries. Let's be consistent with that. And so it just kind of followed. But I think that was my first moment where I was like, yeah, this is kind of where I need to make that shift.
Okay. So how long, because I went strolling back, you've been creating content for, it looks like 2 or 3 years before your entrance into the big and tall, like modeling, I guess, world. You had been in content like way before that.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember at what point did I start noticing you. I mean, I saw you before you became a model. I'm trying to remember, like, I was trying to remember what photo was it that I saw, and I just couldn't. So that's actually what I was doing before I interviewed, strolling back to, like, remember, because what I wanted to get a sense of is, you know, how did you create content then versus, because the content you create now just looks like, I mean, I guess that's the job of a model, but it just looks so the shit. And I can't even find any other word for it, but it's the shit. And so I'm wondering, like at what point did your content shift? Because you were creating like amazing style content before, but now it's like style, it's like fashion, but it's like fashion with like $1 million budget. What was the shift for you?
Well, I think it was really a couple of things, but I would definitely say initially it was a faith move.
Okay.
And I think every move that I've had since then was a faith move. And so it was really just jumping on faith. Just walking on faith. Standing those things when you feel like, you know, you get that, okay, do this. Most people kind of shrug it off, or they may say it to their friends and like, I was thinking about doing this, and they never do nothing with it. You know what I'm saying? But when you actually do something with it, like for me, my belief is in God will honor whatever you say and do. You know, the moment you say it and you put an action plan behind it and you start to do, you know, you really can't lose the moment you do, because, you know, you can plant a seed, but as long as you keep watering it, you know, seasons may come, it's drought and it may not grow, but as long as you keep watering, you're nurturing it, it's going to grow. Like that's just how it's designed to do. So just anything like that, if God planted the idea, I just utilize it as a seed to just grow and nourish. And so it was a faith move. Like, I know I may not have the budget yet, but I'm going to make those investments. I'm going to make those connections. I'm going to really, you know, do what I need to do to make it look like how I imagined it to look. And so really just taking that mindset and implementing that with every transition, that's how I can best say that's what made the shift. Like, that's what made that pivot shift. And then also just knowing what the industry desires at that point. Yeah, so I know working with brands, I work with brands as a photographer, and you know, my wife works in social media as a brand strategist for agency, so she works with a lot of top level brands to be able to, you know, help give me that feedback too. Like, you know, this is kind of what the aesthetics and things like that. This is kind of what they're looking for. This is the, you know, this is pretty much the standard. And so, with that in mind, you know, it was just utilizing that standard to make that shift. And I can actually say, I want to say 2017 is when I made that shift, because it was actually a new year. And I remember making it like a New Year's Eve post. I had on like an all black suit. And it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, I want to style it how I want to. I want to shoot it how I want to. I want to go to the location how I want to. And that was like that pivotal moment to really start shifting my content. And I think, you know, it was just a matter of not being lazy with it. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we have an idea to do something. We're like, okay, well, I'll just shoot it right here. Or I'll just use my phone. Or I'll just, you know, I'll throw it out, you know. And it's like, you know, no, like, if you didn't envision it like that, if you didn't see it like that,
Trigger.
hey, it's a good trigger, because it was me. It was me. And it was like, when you know that it should be better, you just have to do better and
Do
go with
better.
it, because it's gonna pay off in the end. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're gonna reap the benefits of that extra effort that you put in to go to the location that you want. Like, as a photographer, a lot of people didn't even know, like, I was putting together gigs in LA in like 2018 on my own dollar. Like, I'm booking makeup artist stylists and putting together productions and entire teams. But that positioned me to be able to have those connections and be able to make those strides in a different market, because I wasn't there, and I know what I desire to look like and to be, and how I wanted my work to look. So it's like, hey, I don't have palm trees in Kansas City, but I want to shoot a really high-end bathing suit ad type look in my portfolio. I had to make that investment to go to LA to get the palm trees, to get the beach, to get the scenery, to book you know, the industry model to get that look. So it's just like, you know, following those inclinations to elevate yourself,
Okay,
will pay
I
off
see
in
what you're
the
saying.
end.
Investing in yourself is what I'm hearing here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you did a
Absolutely.
lot of that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I hear Jesus talking. Thanks. I see what you're saying here. I see what you did for other people. I guess that's what you're saying. It's my time. I hear you. So now you have taken these connections. You've obviously decided to follow the inclination that you got from God, and you followed that to lead you to obviously being signed. Now you're signed. What's your like what, do you remember your first gig? Like, what was it like?
Yeah, so first I want to say, before I get into my first gig, the transition of being signed, I got signed during the pandemic of 2020. So
Oh,
like,
the panorama.
the whole panoramic, like, I got signed when we were on lockdown. You know, that was the real lockdown, not like the Atlanta lockdown where everybody stay outside.
Don't do us like that.
I'm playing. But now,
We were locked down too, by the way. People don't know that. We were officially locked down. It only lasted 2 months, 3 months. But we no. Well, actually, you're right. It was. Yeah, because we were still, but like most of the city was locked down. Like the streets was empty. Yeah, for 3 March. No, it was 2 months. I lied. It was 2 months. It was only 2 months. Cause we opened up is that Memorial Day? That's what happens in May. Yeah, we were open for Memorial Day. So yeah. It wasn't
Crazy
real.
enough,
You're right.
I was in Atlanta like in March, and the week after, that's when everything shut down. But yeah, to your point, like, so like, it was shut down, everything shut down, so like, couldn't go nowhere, and that was like the real shutdown. So literally, I had to get creative with my content. So I shot a lot of my content and built my portfolio as a model myself. So like, I would shoot a lot of my own content. I would go to my studio, set it up on boxes or whatever, a tripod. Set up in my apartment, shot a lot of content in my apartment that basically became content I had to use, because, you know, I didn't have a portfolio, and I still, you know, obviously have to work. Like, it's a job, so I need to be able to be presented to clients and have a, you know, diverse portfolio of something, and I didn't have anything. And so that was really like where a lot of my content at home began to develop, was
Okay,
doing
that
that
makes
team.
sense.
Yeah, and so after that, my first official gig, a lot of people don't know, was the Savage X Fenty gig. That was my first official job as a model. So, yeah, that was a moment. That was a moment.
That was the moment.
That was the moment. Yeah, and so
I mean,
we
the
all know how
way that took off
that went,
is like what okay, because I like I'm learning this from talking to other Savage models and other models, period, is
so.
that you guys don't know when the drop is happening. You just it just drops and like everyone's telling you about it. So what was your experience with when your photos first dropped?
Man, it was crazy. Like one of my homies actually in Atlanta hit me up at like 4 a.m. and I just so happened to wake up. I literally just so happened to wake up and see his text, like, bro, have you seen this? And so it was a screenshot of Twitter. And so I just log on Twitter and then I just see it already on my page, like notifications, notifications, notifications going crazy. And then the girl who actually made the meme, okay, Rihanna, it just went crazy. And at that time, it was already at like, I don't know, like 200,000 like likes and retweets and whatever. And so it just went crazy. And then after that, literally in that same day, picked up our Glamour magazine, New York Post. And that was when I was like, okay, this is like really going crazy. So,
Wait, you were in Glamour magazine?
yeah.
Like you had spread?
Yeah, well, it wasn't a spread. They used the shot from the e-com shoot from
Yeah,
that
that's what I
launch
mean.
of
I'm
the
sorry, not a
campaign.
spread, but you had an ad with
Yeah, well,
your
it was
photos
actually,
ad.
yeah, so the story was actually, it was me, Lizzo, and Rihanna, and it was a recap of the show. And then they were talking about kind of the buzz behind it. So yeah, that happened literally that same day, and I'm just like, whoa, like hold on, relax. Like, first of all, I ain't even comfortable shirtless like that, and y'all just blew it up. Like, y'all done blew my spot up, and it was just because for me, I'm
Literally.
really like, I knew it was coming, but I didn't know when it was coming. So I'm like, okay, I'm still like kind of reserved. Like, I ain't never, you know, again, it's my first shoot. My first shoot, I'm in my underwear. I ain't got no shirt on. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's all these factors that got me like anxious because I'm like, I was still uncomfortable with sharing it. So I was gonna maybe share like one of the shots on my feed and then maybe that was it. You know what I'm saying? But literally all of that happened that night before I could even wake up to see, you know, that it was live. Like, it just went crazy in the same day.
Wow. Okay. So I'm trying to imagine what it feels like to like create. Okay. So I wanna go back before I even think about like what it feels, 'cause even I'm thinking about like you go to sleep, waking up to this is crazy. But before we even get there, so while you on the shoot, right? Obviously, you said that you were uncomfortable, like with your shirt off. What was your feeling when the photographer was like, "Yeah, we doing underwear"? Like what did you was like, what was going through your head?
Yeah, I mean, so by the time I got to set, I was cool. And mind you, like, we got a good team. Like, everybody on the team is mad cool, super chill, incredible to work with, all talented, and super diverse. So it just made it a very comfortable environment to work in. But also before that, like, I feel like getting all of those things out before, because what happened was one of the producers actually reached out to me on Instagram via DM, asking if I wanted to be a part of, you know, the launch, because at that time they didn't have men clothes at all. So that was like the
Yes.
intro to men's clothing for Savage X Fenty. And so I was like, well, you know, Savage is a lingerie brand, so I'm like, okay, well, y'all coming out with clothes now or something? I'm like, he was like, nah, it's gonna be boxers, gonna be underwear. So I'm like, ah, see. So I pretty much knew what time it was when
I'm feeling a
we
little
shot.
Martin-ish right now.
You know what I'm saying? Like, man, hold on, like me. But it's crazy because like I really was low key shook, but I talked to my agent about it. I was even to the point like, make sure like he actually know what I look like he ain't about to get me out here looking crazy, like, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we ain't seen it as brown men, we haven't seen like a real body in mainstream like that.
Yep.
before, like, you know, that don't have, and it's a lot of big men that still have a smaller build, but like, I'm a bigger guy with like a bigger build. So it's like, you know, for me, I'm having all those thoughts like, yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm photographing small on Instagram or something, like literally all those
Well, they might
thoughts.
see. So see, it's interesting to know that even like when you are the shit, you even you still have th like make sure he knows that I'm like not like little big, I'm big. Like even that idea, it's like I don't know. I guess it just reminds you that like we're all in some type of, I don't want to say struggle, but we're all in some type of sort of way where no matter how great you are, there's always some part of us that's like maybe we don't feel the best or look the best or how other people think of us. And that's interesting. The more that I talk to people who I think are the absolute shit, I'm like, but you got the same thoughts I do. So then in that case, that makes me the shit.
Yeah, facts.
Right? So
Hey, and that's the thing. That's really what it boils down to, because I feel like, you know, it just takes more of that real conversation. Like, we having a real conversation. Like, I'm talking to you like I'll talk to one of my closest friends, one of my cousins, like, and this fam. And it's just like, one, that's how the world should be anyway. Like, it shouldn't be these statuses and, you know, all these disconnects. Like, we should all be helping each other, especially as black people. Like, we need to be
yep.
doing that by nature anyway. And so, like, yeah, man, I had those same thoughts going into it. It was definitely like, yeah, I'm not sure, but like I said, working with them, getting on set, I was like, oh yeah, this is a vibe. This is a vibe. And so went on, did my thing, and you know, it is what it is. And so it really honestly helped me become more comfortable, because it was one of those situations, like once it went viral, just seeing all the people and the love and support I got, it made me more comfortable and appreciative of my size myself. And so it was actually, you know, not even just, you know, something that was beneficial to all brown men and other, just, you know, the plus industry, but for myself, like it was more like a, okay, yeah, let's really wake up for real. Like, let's give them that pressure. And so
Ooh.
yeah, that was that moment.
You know what I imagined? I imagined in this very moment right now, I imagined that there's going to be some little kid. I don't want to say little. There's going to be some, like, I'm going to say teenager, because I assume you have to be at least, what, 13 to get on Instagram. So there's some teenager right now that is, like, discovering your work and thinking, if he look like that, and I look like that, I guess I'm cool too.
Facts.
That for me is like the whole purpose of why I do what I do.
Facts.
For there to be, for kids to no longer grow up with self-identity issues about who they naturally are, how
Yeah.
their God-given body looks. Like, that is exactly why I do what I do. So seeing your photos just makes me feel like we're going in the right direction, and that makes me hella proud.
For sure.
So obviously this is where I step in to the picture, because I'm like, okay, I want to know what Stephen G feels. So that's at this point, the photos come out, I think, in September of 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it was October. It was yeah,
October.
October. Yep.
So I this is the photo, actually, it dawned on me, this is the photo I want to know about it. Because first of all, the color grading is absolutely excellent. I'm sorry, I know I'm dipping into the photography streets right now, but
Yeah.
the color grading on those is absolutely perfect. I want to know how you got the shadows to look like that. I'm gonna show you the picture I'm talking about, this one right here.
Ah, so that one, yeah, that was actually one of my favorite shoots to this date. That one, I actually didn't shoot that one. I had a photographer, her name is An.
I was about to say, if you shot this yourself,
Yeah, no.
I'm going head first.
Yeah, now she's so talented, man. She's dope, and she killed that shoot, like literally. And it was in my studio, so it was a. It's probably why you thought I shot it, because it's in my studio.
Okay.
But yeah, she captured the space, the vibe, the essence so well. But yeah, she did her
This
thing.
some
She did her thing.
this This will fire shot. I mean, so at this time, so now you, this was almost 2 years ago at this point. Like, has that even registered? Like, that was almost 2 years ago?
Nah, man. Time going by so quick.
So we are in 20. So you finish, you wrap up that shoot. So tell me. So your next shoot, I don't remember what it is. I'm not even gonna try to remember. But so I want to know, where's the elevation from there? Like, what happened next? Like, did brands come at you like, or was it a slowdown? And I want to know, like, when they came at you, did they put more respect on your name? Did they look at you like, oh, this is like model? So, like, I really understand, like, how did the industry respond to you is the proper interview question after that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the response was incredible, honestly. And I'm thankful that it happened because, like I said, I think really the whole narrative is bigger than me. And that's what I'm happy about, because I've always been, you know, a guy of fashion. Like, I had a passion for fashion since I can remember as a kid. So, like, really being able to dress and, you know, put together things from a stylistic standpoint and being into designers, that's something I've always been into, but I've always been a larger guy. And so, you know, not really having that selection to be able to go to, you know, just pull these pieces and things like that, you know, you don't have that option. So you got to be uber creative and uber, you know, resourceful to do all these things, you know what I'm saying, to really still feel like you can express yourself from a fashion standpoint. So what that moment brought about was a narrative that, okay, yeah, now it's time to really wake up. Like, we haven't been seeing representation for brown men in fashion. And so that was when I was like, okay, yeah, this is where it's at. This needs to keep happening. And so that was the response I received from the industry, not just the industry, but just from people around the world. And the brands just started coming, the publications just started coming after that. And, you know, it's a blessing that it's still happening, because, like you said, that's 2 years ago. But I think, you know, now it, because the conversation sparked so much and a lot of brands really took heed to that. And really, honestly, a lot more other influencers and models and other just brown men's content creators start, like, getting, you know, like, oh, okay, well, let's do it. Like, my boy did it. Like, nah, we out here. Like, let's do it.
And I can do, like, it too. You know, yes. And that's what I like.
Yeah, for sure. And that was something I definitely love too. And I think, you know, the response from brands, they're seeing that. And, you know, the more we continue to elevate our voices and our content and the things that we do best, just being ourselves and being our, you know, our fly creative, you know, selves, regardless, is what's waking the industry up. And so, yeah, it's still happening. The brands, the, you know, recently published in Vogue, second time Vogue Business, and for them to pick up the story, it's just like, yeah, that's a major thing.
We not gonna float. We not gonna float Vogue like that. I'm gonna need you to run that on back.
Yeah. What? Yeah, so I had an interview with Vogue, British Vogue, and then my second interview recently, I believe actually last month, was with Vogue Business, and they covered an entire story. So it was me, Zach Mikos, and a couple other different brown models, really just getting our narrative. And so, yeah, man, it's not stopping. It's not stopping, and it's starting to excel, and we're starting to see those wheels moving. So I'm excited about it.
Listen, the day I had the opportunity, like the day in life to see somebody that wears above a size 32 in Vogue just never entered in my mind.
Yeah.
So, like, keep doing what you're doing. Clearly you are following the spirit and it is leading you into all the right directions.
Appreciate that.
I think before we wrap this on up, I want to know, like, What's one thing you thought before you got in the industry that's either different, the same now, that you feel that's either different or the same you feel now about the industry? Because, like, I feel like the number one question, I really assume if I get this question three times a day, you must get it 32 times per day. And it has to be the how do I become a model question. Because I literally get that question 3 times a day. Like, I'm not kidding. 6 years in a row, I've been getting that question 3 times a day.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to a model. Tell them how you become a model. How you do that?
Absolutely. So you become a model simply by becoming a model. So the moment you decide to do it, you just have to be it.
Flex bomb.
And so with that, definitely do your research. Do your research on the industry. Actually know, you know, what you're getting into. Create a portfolio. But even then, that's not really necessarily needed to get signed or anything. But you want to create a portfolio, one, for the experience, but second, to actually develop a professional book. Take your digitals. Get a photographer. Wherever you are, take your digitals. Even those, you know, I'll always say quality over quantity. So if you want to be on a more cost efficient side, you can use your phone. But definitely, if you want to elevate it, if you want to get the attraction of Gucci and Tom Ford, then get you some digitals that look like Gucci and Tom Ford. And just continue to have that mindset with everything you do. So make sure your portfolio is diverse, and you just be consistent and just keep posting, keep carrying yourself as a model in person. If I see you at the grocery store, your head should be held high and you should be walking like you own that grocery store. So all of that is entailed with being a model. Like I said, so to simply put it is just be a model.
I felt like this was a kick in the door moment. Like, whoa. I tell the people just unlock your Instagram. Thank you.
Do our private first.
I mean, because people that ask me to do that, their page is always private. It's like, how are people going to find you? Right. But what you gave was elevated. So actually, thanks for that. Now I'm going to take some of that information. I'm going to dive into it deeper. And I'm going to create a second video. Because I had a first one that I did like 4 years ago. But I want to do a follow-up video on what it takes to become a model. So I'm going to take some of those research pieces you said and really dive in a little deeper to give more context, because I didn't think about creating a portfolio. I thought about like creating a digital portfolio, obviously on Instagram, but you're right. When I see models, they still have, they have a book still.
Yeah. So if you're not signed, I mean, that's the benefits, you know, of course, having an agency. A lot of times they take on that project for you. But I mean, if you're out here, if you hustling, you trying to develop your brand as a model, do it. And that's, you know, do what the actual models are doing. And so that's what you have to do. Get that book, go to those castings, you know what I'm saying? Get connected with the right people and just be consistent.
Well, there you have it, people. Y'all just found out how to become a model. Stephen G said it. He's a model. I'm not a model. So I feel like that piece of information is so valuable. I really hope that people I hope that this is people's inclination. I hope that people listen to this podcast, they watch this podcast, and this is their inclination, like to do what they've been being like pushed or nudged to do. I hope that this is it. Like, I really, 10 years from now, we, I don't know, sitting on the top of a mountain on a G5 somewhere talking about, and somebody's like, yeah, I saw this interview 10 years ago and I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. And now here I am. Like, I really, that's my hope. When I create every piece of content, I really think about 10 years in the future that someone saw this and did what they knew they always needed to do, but never felt confident enough to do. That's my every time I create a piece of content. So this is also another shining moment in career that people get to look back on and be like, yo, like Steven went from here to here to here by just listening, following, and investing in yourself. Because what I heard in this podcast is that you listen when the spirit was leading you. You invested in yourself, no matter what it cost you. And I'm pretty sure it was cheap to fly to LA. You did what you need to do, and it got you to where you are now. And even I'm going to take a piece of that advice because I'm triggered, but you know I ain't going to take a piece of that advice.
Don't be, don't, hey, it's a brotherhood. We got to hold each other accountable. So if I'm slipping,
that's what I want to do. So before we get up out of here, leave the people with one piece of advice that you feel like you either wish you knew sooner, or just want to impart on other people listening to this right now.
Sure. So one thing I definitely want to leave you guys with is just to follow the voice of God inside of you that tells you to do anything, follow it, and do it to the best of your ability. So do it with excellence, do it with pride, and do it with a humble heart. Because at the end of the day, we're all here to serve one another in whatever we do. As a model, I still serve in the space that I'm in, you know, so serving my community, serving, you know, as a black man, as a brown man, like I still serve. And so keep that in mind that whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability and do it with the mindset that you are going to change lives. So that's pretty much it. Be confident.
thank you for agreeing to be on Stephen G. I appreciate that so much. Cause even I had a moment where I was like, nah, man, I ain't big enough to reach out to Steve even for interview. I did. I'm not gonna lie, I did. And I'm super glad that I did. It took me a while because honestly, I wanted to interview a year ago, so that's how long it took me to like.
Oh man. Well, you know, hey, everything worked out in perfect timing.
I'm learning that things about timing, even though I wanted to move in my time, it ain't my time.
Nice.
Thank you for agreeing to be on my podcast, and y'all stay tuned for next week's episode. Again, I'm out. But wait, before I go, I just thought about something where they can find you at. I mean, I know you're famous and you like everywhere, but for the like two people that live under a rock, where do they find you?
Definitely. So you can find me on Instagram at TheOfficialStephenG. You can check out my photography work at StephenG_. Check out my website at OfficialStephenG.com. Photography website at StephenGPhotos.com.
Come on. His photos are bomb, by the way.
Crazy. Yours are too. So look, if you're in KC, book me. If you're in A, book them. Let's go.
Come on. Yo. Midwest and down. Come on. But y'all stay tuned for another episode. Thank you so much for listening to an Exo Tribesman podcast. We are hot this month.